Welcome to today's New Life Live podcast. Today's podcast can be downloaded through iTunes or streamed through your mobile device using Stitcher, the smart radio app. Visit newlife.com/Stitcher to download the app today. Welcome to New Life Live with Steve Arterburn and co-hosts Dr. Henry Cloud, Dr. John Townsend, Dr. Dave Stoop, Dr. Joel Hubbard, Mylon Yurkovich, and Dr. Sherry Keffer. New Life Live is dedicated to bringing you hope and help through practical and biblical solutions for daily living. Our goal is to provide you with wisdom from God's Word for genuine spiritual healing. If you have a question you'd like to ask today, our phone lines are open. Call 1-800-229-3000. That number again is 1-800-229-3000. Now, here's Steve Arterburn.
Hi there, everybody. Welcome to New Life Live. Steve Arterburn here with Dr. Dave Stoop. Hey, Dave.
Hey, how are Steve. You? Good. Good day.
Well, I'm glad that you're here, and it's always great to be with you.
Are you surviving the winter?
You know, I was telling just the other day, it was so cold here before. You know, we've gotten a break now, but I was telling Solomon, tell all your friends that when you were standing out waiting for the bus, you felt like a zero, because it was zero. That's how cold it was.
We Southern Californians love to ask how the weather is.
Yeah. Well, you know, I just absolutely love this weather here. I love how cold it can be. In fact, I love it when it's cold late, because then when, you know, you get that first little glimpse of and that feeling of spring, it's really powerful, you know, if you've really had a cold time there. So I love that. But we love it here. Anyway, I'm glad that you're listening today, and I want to read you something real quick about what Dave and I are involved with just coming up. We've got our marriage weekend, but listen to this. I shared with my husband 6 months ago that I was done after 12 years of marriage. I love God more than anything, and our marriage brought him no glory. It was a lie. I was going to put a fleece of 6 months out there for a miracle, and that I didn't think was coming. Well, 5 months later, my husband asked me to come to the New Life Marriage Workshop. The weekend has been truly a miracle. I didn't think it was possible. I thought my husband didn't care about me or love me. I felt like a failure as a woman. I know now that those were lies from the enemy. This weekend has been transforming, not only my marriage, but my life. I'm leaving the workshop with truth and freedom to love my husband, my family, my friends like never before. I feel empowered to be all that God has created me to be.
Wow.
And to do. Now, you know, that's just about as powerful as it gets, I think.
Well, it's the power of that statement kind of matches the power of that weekend. I mean, that was an accurate portrayal.
Yeah, it really
was. It's amazing what happens that weekend.
So, you know, when you hear words like truth and freedom, a lot of times we hear truth and we feel like we're enslaved or something. But really, this weekend changes everything. We'd love for you to come be part of it. And you can do that by calling 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Let's go to Autumn. And she lives in D.C., listens on WAVA. Hi, Autumn. Welcome to New Life.
Hello, Dr. Stoop and Arterburn. I am so privileged to be able to talking with you today. I love your show, and I listen to it whenever I can, but usually I cannot, and today was one of those exceptions, and I am so ecstatic that my call can be received.
We're glad that you called. Thank you.
We're delighted.
Thank you.
Oh, I hope you can help me. I have a question, and it's in regards to my husband and his relationship with his mother. And, you know, I want to be the supportive, you know, Proverbs 31 wife for him. I want to, you know, be Christ-like, and yet I struggle with the feelings I have whenever he's on the phone with his mother, which is very, very regular. She calls almost daily and with not a whole lot of substance. And at times, they would sit there on the phone for 30 seconds, a minute, with neither of them saying anything. And I don't know, I just feel funny because that was exactly what we did. We dated long distance, and So it's actually what we did because we couldn't be with each other, and we just wanted to be on the phone with each other, even we had nothing to say. And
okay, hold on.
I was working at a Christian school for 19 years, and somebody saw something on my computer. It was a battle that I'd had all my life.
Every day, men struggle with sexual integrity. Impure thoughts, strip clubs, pornography.
I believed that I could do it on my own. I just believed that if I tried hard enough and pulled myself up hard enough by my bootstraps, I could do it. I had to get help.
Find hope today at New Life's Every Man's Battle Workshop.
I heard about Every Man's Battle. I'd read the book, but I decided I'm going to look up that 800 number, and I called. I said, if I can get on a plane, can I come? That afternoon, I was on an airplane.
To register or to find out more, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433, or log on to newlife.com.
Hearing that I needed to be in community was very helpful, but probably the single most helpful thing was to realize that I wasn't the weirdest guy on the planet, and it was just life-changing.
1-800-NEW-LIFE. To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to New Life Live.
We're back. We're talking with Autumn. Autumn's husband spends a lot of time on the phone with his mother in a way that he used to spend time with Autumn, and that is just kind of hanging out and being together. Go ahead, Dave.
How long have you been married, Autumn?
We've been married 20 years.
Oh, wow.
And I feel bad that I'm dealing with these feelings, you know, after 20 years, but I always feel strange whenever he talks with his mother on the phone, and for a long time he would get off the phone, and he would get all giddy, and I can't describe it, and I do not like the feeling I have.
Well, it's got to be tough. I feel for you. And so what is the question for us? How would you like us to help you?
Are my feelings wrong? Is this something to be concerned about? Is he too close to his mother? Or I don't know. I need your help.
Well, tell us, how is the rest, the other parts of your marriage? How, when he's not talking to his mother, what? How do you guys do with each other?
Yeah, our marriage is wonderful. He is a fantastic husband. Otherwise, I do notice, yeah, something else I wanted to tell you. I do notice, too, that I think, in my opinion, is unusual, and you need to tell me if it is unusual, is when he spends time, extended meaning a couple of days with her, a lot of times would come home and would show some kind of new behavior. For example, years ago, she had knee surgery, but prior to that, she was kind of limping a little bit. As she spent some time with her, he came back, and he walked a little bit with a limp. And I had to ask him what was wrong with him, and he said nothing. And then recently, he started swaying back and forth, and that is something that she does. And I asked him what was wrong, and he said nothing. And I asked why he was swaying, and he said he didn't know.
Well, so, you know, we call that adaptation and mirroring. And when you are with somebody, you might tend to kind of get used to going, you know, it actually, you could say it's attunement with them. You get in tune with what they're doing, and you're not aware of it. Sometimes if he's walking with her and she's limping, then he's going to have to limp also. So I don't know if that's the case or it's something unhealthy, but I do know this. You guys need to be talking about this. What do you think, Dave?
Oh, I agree. This is a case of not leaving, and that's why I wondered how it was affecting the cleaving, Autumn, between you and your husband. It sounds like when she's not in the picture, things are good. But it's also a question of loyalty. It almost feels like he's more loyal to her than he is to you, especially when he I don't know how he responds. Maybe you don't talk about this. Have you confronted him about any of this?
Yes, I've tried a couple of times, and he gets very defensive, and he thinks that I'm reading too much into a situation. The last time we talked about it was last week, and he, in frustration, I just said, maybe I need to go see a counselor to see if what I'm seeing is normal or abnormal, and he suggested I do that, thus the call today.
Well, see, he's more loyal to his relationship with her than he is in his relationship to you in that context. Mm-hmm. You get him out of that context, and he's a wonderful husband, you say. But yes. My guess, what happened to me when I was around my mother in the early years of our marriage is my wife would say, you act like a little boy when you're around her. And I imagine that's what he does when he's around her. Is he the only child? Is there a father in the picture?
He was never close to his father, and he has siblings.
But they don't do this. He's kind of the mama's boy, it sounds like.
He is her favorite, yes.
Yeah. See, what you're feeling is normal in that circumstance, and it's healthy. You're not the one who needs to adjust. He needs to pay attention to how you feel. And what I would do is, when I talk to him, I would only talk about your own feelings as a result of it. You know, you might refer to what he does, but it's how it makes you feel. Because then he can't say, well, that's silly, you know. No, that's really how I feel.
That's why I was saying, let's don't talk about the behavior, because that could just be a result of being near her. But you got to share with him how you feel about his connection with her.
Part of what you feel is that he's more loyal to her when she's in the picture. If he had to choose between you and her, you're not sure that he would choose you. And that becomes the core of the issue. If you were to go to a counselor, I think that's what a counselor would help you to see, is you're dealing with things in a healthy way. There's something to deal with here, in that it's a loyalty question.
Mm-hmm. What do you think of that? Can I tell you an honest, honest feeling?
Of course you can.
Which I shared with him last week, and I believe prior times, but I'm not sure. I said that I know it sounds odd, but I feel at times as though she is his mistress.
She's the other woman.
That he is talking to a mistress because of the fact that he gets off the phone, he gets giddy, or that they would hang on the line even with nothing to say. And he became angry. He said that made him angry.
Well, because it was the truth. And I don't have any problem with what you said to him. It was confrontive, and he didn't like it because it was true.
Mm.
Right?
Yes.
Okay. But boil it, don't focus on his attention, his behavior, the giddiness, the silence. Just say, just make it a generalization. The way you relate to your mom when you're involved with her makes me feel like she's far more important to you than I am, and that bothers me. And then when your mom's not in the picture, I think we have a great relationship. But the minute she comes in the picture, everything changes, and I feel left out. It is like a mistress.
And always good, don't you think, to start with, wow, I love you. You're an amazing man. And there's this one area that would really help, I think.
And the issue is that you're not hearing my heart. Mm-hmm. About that one area. You're not, and maybe it's the way I'm saying it, but you're not hearing what I feel in my heart.
Mm-hmm. Okay. May I ask one final question? I do not want to hog your time. just one final question. Should I just not worry about this and just focus on the positive aspects of our marriage and just ignore this, or should I pursue this and feel...
What do you think we're saying to you?
Well, I'm so glad that you understand how I feel, because he doesn't.
And that's the issue. And if you deal with that issue, that's going to improve. If he will deal with it with you, that's going to improve your relationship. And the mother thing will get into place. You can't, I mean, he's not going to divorce his mother.
No. Mm-hmm. Okay.
But he needs to set some boundaries.
I'm really glad that you called. I'll send you Dave's devotional, Just Us. I think that will help you. And I'm excited that, you know, you've got some ways to approach him other than what you see. It's a way to look at what you feel. I like that. And I hope that's going to be helpful to you. All right, let's go to Shannon from Texas, KKHT. Hello, Shannon. How you doing?
I'm doing great. How are you?
Good. All right. Yeah, thank you. How can we help?
I've been dating a guy for 2 years now, and about a year ago, I saw it was a red light ticket that was on his cabinet or, you know, just on his counter, and I saw that it was overdue, and it bothered me, so I brought it up to him, and we talked about it, and throughout the month, I ended up finding out that, you know, there were several bills that he just doesn't pay, and therefore, he's been turned in to collection agencies, and I've told him, you know, if it's something, you know, if we are to be together or to talk about marriage, you know, this is something that I, you know, I can't allow. Like, I don't accept it. But
what does he
say? I love him as a human being because he's a great man. He's a godly man. But this is the only thing that I see.
Okay. What's his response?
He gets very defensive. And he says he doesn't know why. He said, you know, it's probably from bad habits and past habits of being poor and not having the money to do it. And I said, I understand that, but you have the money to do it.
Mm-hmm. Okay. All right.
Well, I like to boil things down to a basic principle. And I think what you're feeling is this guy going to be responsible or is he going to be irresponsible? Is that close to your question?
Absolutely.
Okay. And that's an important question. Because I'm thinking, well, you can marry him and then you handle all the bills and that would be fine. But he'd probably not give you all the bills because there's something going on in that is irresponsible in his behavior.
And then you have the issue of defensiveness.
Yeah, that's the scary part.
So is that a red flag to walk away from? Or is that something that is workable?
That's a red flag that says, unless you're willing to deal with this, it can be a deal breaker.
Yeah.
Because it's not going to get better by getting married. It'll get worse.
And the thing is since we've talked about it, he has gotten better and he will pay it. But it's after the fact that I have to say something. And I'm like, it shouldn't even have to go there. This should be something you do on your own.
Well, if there's a reason, an unconscious reason, and you brought it into consciousness and he's made the changes, then if I'm you, my question is this just going to be a kind of a temporary thing, or is there really a change? Are there other areas where he seems to be irresponsible?
No.
Okay.
Other than that, that's it. And if I say something to him and I'm like, you need to pay that before, because right now he's cleaned up everything. He's cleaned up all of his debt that I know of.
Well, it's not a relationship killer.
No, it's a yellow flag now. It's not a red flag.
It is. That's right. It's a yellow flag, and you need to talk with him about, let's talk about how we dealt with this and how you reacted, and let's talk about how we make sure that not only this issue doesn't become a problem in the future, but talking about things and defensiveness don't become a problem in the future. And the key issue where Dave is saying the issue of responsibility. And then you want to be sure you're bringing your stuff and putting it on the table at the same time. Okay?
Okay.
And your stuff is, you know, if you don't know what that is, then you need to do some work on
ask
that.
Ask him.
Yeah.
I've asked him, you know, tell me what it is you see in me that you want me to work on. And, you know, there's been a few things, but there's really, he doesn't have much to say. So, you know,
well, it's hard. Enjoy that.
It's not a red flag at this point, Shannon, because he's dealt with it. But it is a yellow flag, and I wouldn't just act as if it's all gone away and everything is fine. I would come back to it and watch what happens in the next couple of months. How many what?
Well, you need his response needs to be the chance that you're giving him, and if he doesn't want to cooperate and work and try to connect with you over this, then you got a problem there.
Okay.
All right.
Thank you.
I'm glad that you called. I'm going to send you Is This the One? And it's got some great cautions, but also it explains to you, here's what a true loving relationship looks like.
Before coming to Healing is a Choice, I was completely worn out.
Coming here was an empty shell.
I don't want people to think that you have to be just desperate to come. It's for people who don't know what to do next.
To open up to 8 different strangers was actually a relief. And so much got off my shoulders. And I feel so much lighter now. And I feel so much better. And I feel like I can give so much more to other people. And I don't feel ashamed. And I don't feel like I'm damaged goods.
I have learned that asking for help and being vulnerable can be safe.
The Healing is a Choice weekend is coming up April 17th through the 19th in San Jose. To register or to find out more, call us today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433 or online at newlife.com.
I leave here with hope.
1-800-NEW-LIFE. 1-800-NEWLIFE.
Hi, this is Stephen Arterburn from New Life Ministries. We know that Christian counseling changes lives. We hear evidence of that every day.
My relationships with my husband, with my friends, with my family are much richer and deeper and honest. Particularly my relationship with God, I see Him in a more accurate form and begin to trust Him more. There's joy and there's peace because I have the internal tools that I can trust. So it's radically changed my life. I'm just not even the same person.
Our nationwide network of licensed Christian counselors means there is help available near you.
Take the leap, jump in, and go for it. It's changed my life completely.
You don't have to be stuck where you are, but you can't really expect to change unless you take action. Call us today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. It could be the start of a whole new life for you. Christian counseling works, and we can help. Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE today. Someone who cares is always there at 1-800-NEW-LIFE.
We'd love to hear from you. If you have a question or a comment, call toll-free 1-800-229-3000. Now back to New Life Live.
Yes, we are back. Steve Arterburn here with Dr. Dave Stupin. If you have not listened and watched Dave on tv.newlife.com, please go there, get your 2 weeks free, and get all the wisdom you can. I think once you do that, you'll want to sign up. It is really surprising to us how life-changing it is, how transformational it is. So do what a lot of other people are doing and experience part of New Life's ministry that wasn't around last year at this time. We're glad that it is, because it really has exceeded all expectations. TV.newlife.com. All right, let's go to John. John's calling us from South Carolina, Sirius XM. He listens to that at about noon Central Time on Channel 131, Sirius XM Satellite Radio. Hi there.
Hi, how are you doing?
Excellent. Good. How are you?
I'm doing okay.
My question is that
I've been married for about 40 years.
Okay.
I'm 66. My wife is 65. And about 4 years ago, I believe she was having an affair. And I just followed up on it and came to the conclusion that she was. And I've been trying to resolve it, but it's only one-sided. She has no will to for counseling or anything like that. And I heard you talk to someone on one of your previous show that was like 50. In other words, how long should I pursue this without any change at the age that I am?
Wow. Does it feel like she's still emotionally connected to this guy?
Yes.
Yeah.
And they see each other in a working environment at least 5 to 6 times a week.
Oh, wow. See, one of the things that's so important in when there has been, and it makes it so hard when it's a work person, is that you've got to have total cutoff from the other person. You can't see or talk or be around them in any way, shape, or form, because all that does is keep alive to some degree the whole affair thing.
I agree. And it's not like it's one of these self-employment type thing, which she is mostly the person that runs it.
Wow.
You understand?
Yeah.
Yep. Okay. So she's kind of guilty of maybe even sexual harassment if she's his boss.
She could be charged with that.
Yeah. So, well, you guys need some help. If she's not willing to get help with you, then you need to go and get help.
You know, what was going on in your marriage before this? Five, 6 years ago?
I was thinking everything was good. We go to different churches, number one. She's Pentecostal, I'm Baptist, and so we've always had that kind of divide. And so that disconnect.
Start going to church with her.
I tried that, but he's also a part of that church.
Well, I would really be going to church with her.
When I do come to church, whether she tells me he feels uncomfortable and I don't need to come.
That's too bad. He feels uncomfortable. You go to that church, John. You got
to
claim.
Yeah, she doesn't want me to come.
Well, then your wife is still having an emotional affair with this guy, whether he's involved or not. And they're talking because he's telling her that he's uncomfortable with you being there.
She's doing, you would call, is ongoing betrayal of you.
Yeah.
She's not just taking care of herself. She's betraying you on an ongoing basis and inflicting this wound on you. So I'm just going to encourage you to not stand for that. And you have to, I think you do have to give her an ultimatum.
Mm-hmm. And the
she has to decide.
The ultimatum is, we're going to counseling. If you're not going, then I'm going. And
yeah, I tried that, and I did that once.
Well, don't do it.
And I just hadn't been back.
I'd go back and get somebody to help you sort out what your options are. Here's a piece of bad news for you. And this is a generalization, not absolute, so I'm not saying that this is necessarily describing her. But typically when a man has an affair, it's a compartment, it's a separate part of his life. It doesn't integrate with the rest of his life. When a woman is having an affair, it integrates with all of her life, and usually it's her way of stepping out of the marriage. And she got caught before she stepped out. But there's something missing for her in the marriage that she doesn't want, and she's got a block to it. So that's why I was asking you, what was it like before? For her, it must have been different than it was for you. But I would get some help. I'd get some help to sort it out. I mean, to end a 40-year marriage is not easy, and it can be really devastating. So, but something's got to change.
Just like you said, I've been doing a lot of studying and reading, and just like you said, it's an emotional thing for her, and she's got this attachment, and I think that I've always been like a workaholic, and she even said in one little confrontation we had that the whole marriage has been bad for like 30-some years. So,
But that's what people do.
Yeah, they justify it. You know, I wish we could tell you everything. I'm going to send you the 7-minute marriage solution on things to do and not do. But you really need somebody that can help you walk through this.
Yeah. Don't do it alone.
No, and whether it's a pastor or a counselor, you need somebody on a day-to-day basis that you can say, okay, here's what just happened, and man, I'm hurting, whatever. But hold on, I'll get the 7-minute marriage solution and the Bible to you right after.
I want to thank my husband for bringing me here.
The New Life Marriage Weekend is coming to San Jose April 17th through the 19th.
We are leaving here as new people and a new couple, I think truly with hope for the future.
Join Mylon and Kay Yurkovich.
We help couples understand how their attachment style is sabotaging their current relationship. And then we teach them how to create comfort in a relationship.
Doctors Dave and Jan Stoop.
We're going to talk about the degrees of love and different ways that we love. And what is it that destroys our love? And then how do you repair love when it's broken?
And Steve Artiber.
And I'm going to be talking about the 7 things that you need to stop right now, and the 7 things you need to start doing in your marriage, and the 7 minutes that will matter the most for the future of your relationship.
To register or to find out more, call today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433, or log on to newlife.com.
Hi, this is Steve Artiber from New Life Live, and I can't tell you how excited we are about New Life Television. It's an internet television channel at tv.newlife.com. Check it out. You'll see that there's exclusive content, content that we really don't have time to get into here on our radio program. We go down deep and we try to provide you the foundations of the stuff that we know and the stuff that we like to share with you. There's a day on biblical integration, in the news, life recovery, and it's only $9.95 a month, and that supports this ministry. It's an in-depth attempt to connect with you deeper and provide you with a stronger foundation of biblical wisdom from God's Word. Check it out, tv.newlife.com, tv.newlife.com.
Glad you joined us for New Life Live. To be a part of the program, call 1-800-229-3000. Now back to New Life Live.
We're back, Steve Artiber, and you know, that past call, there's somebody that's obviously absolutely not committed to making the best of a relationship. And so ask yourself, am I that person? Do I do that? What do I need to do to get back to my first love? Because if my first love is the Lord, I'm going to do the right thing. It really does matter to God how you treat other people in your marriage. Let's go back to the phones. Let's talk to, how about, there you go, Beth from WFIL. Would be great. Hi, Beth. Beth, are you there?
Yes, I am. Can you hear me?
Yeah, yes. Now we can.
Welcome.
Thank you so much for taking my call.
Sure. What's going on?
Well, I haven't left my apartment, with only one or two exceptions, in about 2 months. I have a lot of anxiety, and I read compulsively to help that, and I can't seem to put a book down long enough to do what I need to do, but not doing certain things is making me even more anxious.
Okay.
You know, about possible consequences. I need to pay my rent. I have a check, and the manager's office is downstairs, and I should have paid it on the first, and I still haven't paid it. I have the money. It's that kind of thing. It's like I can't stand to be anxious, and so I just pick up a book again.
Have you had panic feelings?
I wouldn't, not as I've listened. I'm a relatively new listener. From what I've heard, I don't think I do.
Okay. It's just that the anxiety grows if you think of going downstairs.
It's just overwhelming. I have serious abuse in my background. My mother was borderline personality disorder, and I have amnesia about huge periods of my life.
Mm-hmm. Well, why don't we solve the rent problem by you calling them and telling them you're not feeling well, which is absolutely true. Tell them you have a check, and you'll just tape it on the door. would they mind running up and picking it up?
All right, I'll do that.
I mean, that'll solve you not paying what you owe. And then, Dave, what are your insights into the rest? How does she get out of this rut?
Well, the problem is that the more you give in to the anxiety and withdraw, the bigger the anxiety becomes. Isn't that your experience?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Absolutely.
I have a book that I wish you could read, and it's called There's a Nightmare in My Closet, and it's about a little boy who is anxious every night because he's sure there's a monster in his closet. And finally, one day, he decides to turn the light back on, and he's got his little pop gun, and there's a monster. But before the book ends, the monster's crying, and he tucks him into bed because he's no longer afraid. And the principle is, when I face what I'm afraid of, my fears start to get smaller. See, so you could pay the rent, but that was the way Steve suggested. Or you could just kind of grit your teeth and or call a friend. The other part of it is to call a friend and say, come and walk with me. And you're facing the fear. It's like it's a ferocious dog that's blocking your door, and you're afraid of that dog. And the more you're afraid of that dog, the more that dog has control over you. And when you can kind of say, oh, you look ferocious, but you're probably a nice dog, and I'm not going to be afraid of you. It's going to become a puppy. And that's the principle. You have to face what you're afraid of, and anxiety is a form of fear that doesn't have a focus. And in small steps, you begin to move against it, and you recruit a friend or a relative that cares about you. Say, come and walk with me. I need help. And in doing that, you're facing what you're afraid of, and your anxiety will start to lessen.
Okay.
What do you think?
Does that make sense?
It makes sense.
Is it something you can do?
I haven't yet tried it. I'm you know, kind of skeptical, but okay. Mm-hmm.
Do you have somebody you can call?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. And have them walk with you. That would be, I mean, if you can't do that, then put tape it to your door. If you can get somebody to come with you, say, walk with me, and you don't just say, I have such incredible anxiety, I'm afraid to move, and I need somebody to walk with me and not judge me.
And okay. I think that's the way to go, Dave. I think you got a better set of advice there, and that is to invite that friend and use that payment that's due as the excuse to involve them.
And then say, let me come with me as I walk around the block, and just don't take big steps. Just take little steps that are gradually bigger and bigger until you.
It isn't so much that I've developed agoraphobia. And I appreciate your suggestions. I'm not brushing them aside. It's that it's just, I don't know.
Well, no, I'm not.
It's hard for me to do anything, even in the apartment.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's not like I can work happily and comfortably in the apartment. I'm just afraid to leave it. Anything.
And that's what depression does. You know, depression does that, and it manifests itself sometimes in paralyzing anxiety.
Yeah, I don't think you don't sound agoraphobic. It just sounds like the anxiety is so big that you're paralyzed, and it's hard to begin to move against that by yourself.
Mm-hmm.
You need to have support, and then you need to develop support, a support system where people are going to be calling you, say, why haven't we seen you for a while? And they care about you, and you begin to feel connected. And when you feel connected, that anxiety gets less and less and less.
Okay. Well, thank you for your help.
Okay, I am going to send you a copy of the Book of Life Recovery and a Life Recovery Bible, and I know that's going to help you to get moving. That's what we want to see happen. And so you hold on, and we'll get that to you. I'm glad that you called. Let's talk to Paul he's calling from the L.A. area. KKLA is the station. Hi there.
Hello, Paul.
Hi, Paul.
How are you, sir?
Good. How are you doing?
Fine. I've got a question about living with an individual or a spouse who is very frequently very angry. I have a lot of anger, and been living with an individual such as this for 17 years now.
Mm-hmm.
I've had to call the police on various occasions.
Really? That much rage, huh?
Wow.
Yeah, some physical confrontation. But, you know, I do have a 16-year-old who's also been living with us. This is our son. But he's getting to the point right now where he's actually beginning to yell back at the mother. And, we go to church every Sunday, and we know it's not the right thing to do to be disrespecting your mother in that way, but we've been doing our best to be very patient. But my question is, am I actually hindering the child by keeping him in this environment, or should I be doing something else?
Well, I'm more concerned about your wife. What has she been willing to do to get at the root of her anger?
Well, the root of the anger, from what we understand, is the mother. Apparently,
her mother.
The same way. Yes.
Okay.
And the excuse is that this is the way that she was brought up as a young person in an angry
and your wife
environment.
And your wife is happy that she's becoming like her mother?
She's actually very content with herself. However, the more I see that the son, the 16-year-old, is getting angry, turning into an angry individual,
yeah.
I kind of ask myself, should I still be here or should I be doing something else, moving on? I know that I don't expect other people to change. I know that's my responsibility to change myself. Although as much as I attempt to change by whether it is reading books or attending church or having a ministry or whatever it might be.
No, you're asking the right question and you're looking at the right thing because the boy is counting on you to do something. I believe that. Mm-hmm. Dave, what do you think? I mean...
Well, I would. I don't know that you've really raised the ante enough that your wife gets help. I would say, you know, unless you get help with this anger issue, we're moving out, and I'm taking our son with us. I don't want to do that. I'd rather you get some help, but you can't let this continue on, Paul, because it doesn't go away by itself. It just gets worse.
Yeah, I think that's right. And so, one thing that I think is an overriding or underwriting principle is you don't lie to him. You're truthful with that boy.
Yeah.
That's really important.
At New Life, we are passionate about helping people experience recovery. And it's no exception when it comes to recovery from the addiction to drugs or alcohol. We are very grateful to have found what we believe is the premier facility to offer a Christian 12-step model of care. It treats the whole person and offers biblical values as the foundation for treating the mind, body, and spirit. Our partner in drug and alcohol addiction provides exemplary medical and psychiatric care, as well as Christian-based psychotherapy, pastoral counseling, biblical studies and meditation, educational groups, worship and prayer, and a Christian 12-step program. The approach is non-denominational and guides the patient to experience freedom through a renewed relationship with Jesus Christ. Call us today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE if you or someone you love is struggling with drug or alcohol addiction. That's 1-800-639-5433 or go to newlife.com. 1-800-NEW-LIFE, 1-800-639-5433.
Hi, this is Stephen Arterburn from New Life Ministries. We know that Christian counseling changes lives. We hear evidence of that every day.
I feel like I'm a person for the first time in my life. I feel like I wasn't whole before or that I couldn't enjoy life. I had such a big weight on my shoulders that I had nothing to look forward to. I'm such a better wife and I'm a better daughter, friend, a better worker. I feel absolutely free.
Our nationwide network of licensed Christian counselors means there is help available near you.
If anybody is considering Christian counseling, then they need to do it. They need to take that step.
You don't have to be stuck where you are.
but you can't really expect to change unless you take action. Call us today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. It could be the start of a whole new life for you. Christian counseling works, and we can help. Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE today. Someone who cares is always there at 1-800-NEW-LIFE.
To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to New Life Live.
We're back. Final segment here. Dave and I are going to be in Costa Mesa on the 28th of March, the Laws of Life Recovery Workshop. We'd love to have you. If you want information on that, you just call us at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's it. That's all you have to do. And come join us. 12 Laws of Life Recovery. We'll talk about the history of AA and its tremendously deep Christian roots. Don't forget, Every Man's Battle is April the 10th. Our Ireland trip, September the 26th. And The Marriage Solution and Healing is a Choice, April the 17th. Come join us. Well, Dave.
Where are we going to send Paul?
Let's send Paul. What do you think?
I think you're
forgiving the unforgivable, or
no? A 7-Minute Marriage book might help him.
Okay, we'll send him 7-Minute Marriage Solution and Just Us. And man, we feel for you and what you're going through.
Right.
Final call is going to be Jean. She's calling from California. Hi, Jean. Welcome to New Life. How you doing?
Hi, I'm doing great. Thank you for taking my call.
You're welcome. What's going on?
I have a question. I heard Leslie on the show about the emotionally destructive marriage.
Yeah.
And I'm pretty sure that's my marriage. My husband and I have been married for 8 years, and whenever we have a fight, it tends to either be a blowout or completely ignore each other for like a couple days. So I'm wondering what I should do. I've talked to my husband about counseling, and he's very reluctant to attend. So I'm just wondering if I should go on my own or, what I should do.
Okay. Well, I would say kind of a standard for me is that if one won't go, at least, I mean, if both won't go, one go. Because if you're married to somebody that won't go, that's tough to deal with on your own.
But sometimes when you say, I'm going to go by myself, that scares him into going. Then it's up to the counselor.
Yeah.
Also, when you go, then you might, after a few weeks, say, we're talking about you. Wouldn't you like to come and represent yourself?
Then part of what you've got to understand, Gene, is he's scared. And he's terrified about talking with a counselor. He's terrified about what he doesn't know about his emotions. He's terrified in that he feels like he's a failure, and he can't admit that because that's so devastating to him. These are excuses for the behavior, but it helps you to understand what you're dealing with. And I think the best solution is you guys come to the Marriage Weekend, the Solution Weekend up in Northern California, because that's where miracles happen.
It's true. Yeah.
When is that?
How about doing that?
That's in the middle of April, April 17 to 19.
Yeah, I would definitely love to go to that. I just feel that it's such a huge jump for him. I don't know if he would be open to that
Now, you're afraid to really challenge him, I think, And I have a wife call me and say, I don't know if he'll come. I say, you tell him that he has to come and that you're coming whether he does or not, and you be firm about it. Not be nasty, but be firm about it. You say, if this marriage is going to succeed and you're going to succeed as a husband and I'm going to succeed as a wife, we have to go to this weekend. It's different than any other weekend marriage conference that you can find because there's application of what is heard, not just sitting and taking notes.
Okay. Well, it sounds good.
And the other thing is, if he can see that, this is where, we're talking about a lot of stuff, and you listen to lectures and all that, and it's a little less threatening than just sitting there, just us, in front of a counselor. Maybe he will, but you'll never know unless you ask him.
Right.
Okay.
Okay.
But part of what I want you to see is that he's operating out of deep fear, and particularly the fear of failure. That's a man's deepest fear, is that I'd be seen as a failure. So he withdraws into himself as a way to protect himself from that reality, and that's what you're experiencing, and that disconnects him from you, and that's your deepest fear, is to feel disconnected.
Mm-hmm. That's right. Okay, I'm really glad that you called. And let me send you 7-Minute Marriage Solution and the Bible, and I hope that that's going to really help you try to pull things back together again.
And stay on the line and have them give you information about the marriage weekend.
Yeah. I would ask all of you listening to pray for these couples that call and they're really struggling. It's not easy to honor God and be in a relationship when you're under constant avoiding or constant anger or constant blame and criticism. It's horrible. And so let's pray. Let's pray that they will experience peace and rest. I'll just mention, I think I'll let you close out the program, Dave, as I'm going to go volunteer here. But I'll just mention to everybody, we've got workshops coming up. April the 10th is Every Man's Battle. Ireland is on September the 26th through October 6th. Mylon and Kay are going. Dave and Jan are going. I'm going to go. It's going to be fantastic teaching. Our marriage weekend, we've talked about April 17th, and healing is a choice, April 17th, whatever it is that you're struggling with. And if you have a question you didn't get through, go to tv.newlife.com, sign up, get some free time there, and I think you will love the fact that this thing's there 24 hours a day, and whatever you're dealing with, struggling with, you can find some hope and healing at tv.newlife.com. And nobody contributes more or better and Dr. Dave Stu. Dave, why don't you close us out with some encouragement, maybe a scripture that you've been looking at, and thank you for being with us, and thanks to all of you for listening, and I'll see you next time. And Dave, take her away.
Okay. There's a principle in John's gospel that has really been disturbing me, and it's where Jesus says several times over and over, if you ask anything in my name, I will do it. And I was looking at that and meditating on it this morning. And what I wrote down in response to it was that if you put it into the context of a human situation and the fact that, you know, if I ask my parents for anything, they will do it. That's absurd. We know that they won't always do it because they know better than we know. They know better as children, and they know what's best for us. So that sometimes we don't get what we want, and we may pout and complain, but eventually, because we're a part of the family, we are happy. So I think a lot of what Jesus is saying is that we're part of the family, and that's what in his name means, is that you're now part of my family. And you're part of the New Life family, and I hope that you'll take that seriously, not just be a listener, but be an active participant in supporting the family of New Life. We have several ways to do that. You can make a one-time gift, and there's always something we give you in exchange for that. Or you can become a part of Club New Life, where they're enjoying about close to 5,000 other listeners who pledge to give something on a monthly basis. And we give a lot of stuff for that. In fact, I'm a part of that. I don't get paid to do what I do here. I'm a supporter of the program. And I told them, don't send me the stuff, because if I want it, I'll get it here. But you get a CD, you get special deals on things, and there's just all kinds of privileges that come with it. So give us a call, 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Talk to somebody about how you can become part of the New Life family and be able to feel like you're not just a listener, you're a participant. We love being with you and look forward to being with you the next time. Have a great day.
Thanks for listening. We hope this program has helped you by giving you insights for handling the challenges you face in your life. We want you to know that we're here for you, but you also need to know that New Life Live is a listener-supported ministry.
make your donation or to get any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433 or write to us at New Life Ministries, P.O. Box 1018, Laguna Beach, California, 92652. Please join us again tomorrow for New Life Live. Today's podcast can be downloaded through iTunes or streamed through your mobile device using Stitcher, the smart radio app. Visit newlife.com/Stitcher to download the app today.